You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. In hotspots from New York to Chicago, funeral directors are inundated and doing their best to adapt. They're figuring out how to comfort mourning families from a distance. And it's a job built on trust. It's a job built on compassion. But right now, there's a lot of uncertainty around COVID-19, and we're going to get at difficult questions this hour. And so please take care, because this is sensitive. Have you lost a loved one recently? Are you planning a service for them? What questions do you have about the funeral, burial, or cremation process right now? We're at 800-642-1234. James Wolfe is owner and funeral director at Whitcomb Lynch Funeral Home and Cremation Services in Janesville, and he's vice president of the Wisconsin Funeral Directors Association. James, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Camelia Clark is here as well, funeral director at Paradise Memorial Funeral Home in Milwaukee. And Camelia is president of the Wisconsin Funeral Directors Association. Camelia, welcome to you.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show this morning.
Well, let's start with you, Camelia. Since the pandemic has struck Wisconsin, residents everywhere have been practicing social distancing. How has this changed the way you offer your services?
Well, it's definitely changed the way we offer services, because we certainly had to adapt to the CDC guidelines and the Safer at Home order by Governor Evers. So one of the things that we have done quite naturally is, you know, more families are opting to do funeral arrangements virtually. Some family members are not able to get into town to actually do the arrangements and do arrangements in person. And so we really, really had to adapt with being creative with allowing as many family members as possible to participate in the arrangements virtually. So I would say that's one of the major changes that we've had to adapt to.
I can imagine. Yeah, I can imagine it's really difficult if, say, a loved one like one of the kids is in a different city or in a different state, that they can't make it back even to make arrangements. But you couldn't make arrangements in person, really. James, how does that work for you?
We're doing the same thing. You know, families are either calling in to their siblings or children that live out of state or the area, and either FaceTiming with them during the arrangement process, or they just say, we're going to update our sibling or sisters later on today once we're done here. We don't physically do it. It's more the family opts to do that with their rest of their family, at least in my area at this moment in time.
Yeah, James, what are you seeing in terms of how you deliver services where you are?
We haven't changed too much outside of, you know, what the family is requesting. We are keeping ourselves as close to, you know, the mandate as well, and letting families have their time if they need it right now at our funeral home, and then doing a service if possible with clergy. And then if it is a full burial, we go to the cemetery still right away.
And you are able to do the social distancing by only, you know, 10 or fewer family members? How does that work?
Yeah, so we can cordon off or partition our funeral home into different rooms to allow us to keep that 10 person per room portion of the mandate and go from there with each family on how they feel movement throughout the funeral home then, so that everybody can get into the chapel where the deceased is. So that we are still keeping that 10-person mandate going.
We're talking with James Wolfe and Camelia Clark. They're funeral directors in Janesville and Milwaukee. What are your thoughts on the social distancing policies that have been acted in Wisconsin, like the rule limiting gatherings of greater than 10 people? Do you think this is the right course of action? Have you had a loved one pass away recently? What was it like to plan their arrangements? Join in with your questions, your situation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Camelia, Paradise Memorial Funeral Home is offering live streaming of funeral services. How has that been to work out the logistics of those live streaming services?
Well, it's one of the things we recognized early on is, you know, maybe as we really followed what was going on in Wuhan and as the pandemic came to light in the U.S. and then quite naturally into Wisconsin, we realized early on that we needed to adjust, especially with Milwaukee being an urban market, to adjust. And we pretty much got up and running, I would probably say, the next week after the safer at home order was in place. And because, you know, usually ethnic families, you know, have lots of celebrations of life, more families wanted to participate and were prohibited from participating within the funeral process. And so we found that it's kind of eased the burden and allowed the family to continue on, although it's a unique grief journey, to actually be on a path to where they're understanding, you know, I may not be able to physically be there, but I'm able to participate in the funeral process.
You can still feel the loved ones around you, but it's very in a virtual sense.
It's virtual and it's unique and it's different, but it's still being a part of the process. And so we've had you know, really positive reviews and comments from the families in reference to the live streaming.
James, have any families decided to postpone a funeral service or make arrangements later when the pandemic eases?
Yes, we've got a few families that are holding off their main services themselves for when the pandemic does get you know, brought to fruition, or the safer at home or the mandate is lifted. But it's minimal. Honestly, it's kind of, you know, families are still wanting to do, you know, if they can, something immediately for themselves, no matter what. But we have a handful. It's not a lot of families that are waiting to do their services. We've been able to have our families do them right away still, though.
And James, you know, a number of people are currently without a stable source of income right now. Job loss is rampant. What options are there for families who are struggling to afford making arrangements?
Options in payment-wise, is that what you're asking?
Payment-wise, mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, there's, you know, if you've still got a life insurance policy, that would still be active to help pay, you know, for the incurring of the funeral expenses. We've been pretty good with our families about giving them time to locate and figure out where their finances are at the moment before the funeral and things like that. If there is no money within the deceased estate, then it does lie on the rest of the family to either make payment plans or to take a loan out if the bank is willing to give them a loan, or a credit card, or just a check right off the bat are payments at the moment.
We're talking about funerals in the midst of this pandemic. We have funeral directors Camelia Clark of Milwaukee, James Wolf is here of Janesville, and they stay with us for the hour. Do you know someone who passed away because of COVID-19? What arrangements did the family make? How did you honor this person and celebrate their life? Did you do it virtually? Let's talk about it at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Well, we will be back in a minute with James Wolf and Camelia Clark right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about memorial services right now during the pandemic. It's a hard conversation to have here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Certainly this time of social distancing, there's something especially unnatural about not being able to hug someone who is suffering, who's grieving. Have you lost someone you care about in the past month? Was a service held in their honor, either virtually or in a physical space? How has the experience of mourning or memorializing them been for you? Share your story, your questions, 800-642-1234. We have the president and vice president of the Wisconsin Funeral Directors Association, Camelia Clark and James Wolf, and they stay with us for the hour. Camelia, as I had mentioned there to James, you know, a lot of people may be really suffering right now financially as they lose their jobs during this pandemic. Are there options for these families? Have you heard about stresses as families who have lost someone try to make their arrangements and pay for them?
I think James laid out the options that are available to families really well, and most funeral directors across the state, definitely one that's a part of the Wisconsin Funeral Directors Associations, are very creative and resourceful with working with the families and helping them with different options. And also some of the options that we utilize in Milwaukee, if need be, will be general assistance from Milwaukee County and then state programming if necessary from the Wisconsin Funeral and Cemetery and Aid Program. So we're very resourceful with trying to help the family, and we have a policy that no family will ever be turned away because of finances.
A lot of businesses are struggling financially as well. Have you, had to make any impact there to your staff during the Safer at Home order? Has it affected funeral homes financially, Camelia?
Well, we've absolutely had to adjust staff. Some of the staff that are retirees or working in the funeral industry that are second careers are, you know, we've noticed have been higher risk toward exposure to COVID. And as you know, funeral professionals do have a higher risk toward COVID, and just by the nature of our work. And so some of those employees of ours have opted to quite naturally stay at home, which makes a lot of sense, and we support that. So I would say in certain instances, with the reduction of staffing has been really challenging, but we've been very resourceful with stagnating our staffing so that everyone can be accommodated as much as possible.
James, what about for you? Have you had to let go of staff during this pandemic, or how have you adjusted?
We have not made any adjustments to our staffing at all. We have a pretty minimal staff at our location. There's during the work week, maybe there's three of us sitting around our office. We do have a second location that my other partner runs as well. But our staff isn't as large as Camelia's staff is. So we haven't had too much of an issue with staffing or having to lay anybody off yet.
And James, part of your job involves removing the deceased, which means going into people's homes, into nursing facilities, into morgues. What precautions are you taking to protect yourselves from the virus?
If we're aware of any COVID-19 issues, we do what nurses and everybody else with the personal protective equipment. And we do take those along with us in the course of that process. And we are in the same boat as the medical field. You know, our personal protective equipment is kind of minimal as well. So we're having a hard time getting those resources so we can take care of ourselves too. But for the most part, if we know there is no COVID issues at all, we still go in like we would normally would with a family. Just if we know there's any question of a COVID, then we do get into our personal protective equipment and go through the process to make sure that everybody's safe as we move this deceased person onto our equipment and back to our funeral home.
Camelia, have you had any difficulties securing personal protective equipment?
We absolutely have, and it's been very widespread in the Milwaukee area, and we've had good conversations with trying to secure personal protective equipment, not only for our firm, but also members of the Wisconsin Funeral Directors Association.
Camelia, what do you know about the dangers associated with preparing the bodies who passed away due to COVID-19?
what I do know is that the virus, once we get the person who passed away into our care, actually prior to that, the virus is still live, and that we need to take every measure that we can to disinfect and to retard or kill the virus as much as we can, so that it is safe to actually handle the person that passed away of the virus. And so we do everything that we can, possibly from the time of removal to the time of transfer to the funeral home, to the time of embalming, and also to the time of showing the deceased person for visitation. And there are times in that we've received calls to say, well, the test is pending. So in many situations, we have to, although we don't have a confirmed positive or negative while the test is pending, we proceed just as though that the person is positive.
You make that assumption regardless. Camelia Clark with us. James Wolf is here as well. They're president and vice president of the Wisconsin Funeral Directors Association. Your questions as well. Did you recently lose someone close to you? Are you planning a service right now for them? What questions do you have about the funeral process, about burial, about cremation? Join in 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. James, what guidelines have you received about storing bodies right now before burial or cremation? What guidelines, what steps are you taking?
Again, once we get them into our care, we haven't received too many guidelines on the storage of a COVID deceased person. So we're treating them once they're not into our building, we'll disinfect and take care of those things. And then we leave them or place them into their casket or cremation container as soon as we can, for purposes of the less movement, the better, for everybody around the deceased, if there is a COVID case with them. But guidelines themselves, not too strict or given to me, at least at this moment in time.
Do you feel like the information you are getting from the state is enough to be able to carry out your work?
I do. Because some of the stuff that we're more concerned with is the transfer from the place of death or the embalming process more than anything else. And we're getting guidelines on those aspects from the hospital themselves, or even the medical examiners and coroner's association has given us vital information about, you know, what we could do with the embalming and if it's safe for us to embalm a COVID case and things like that.
Yeah, James, what safety measures do funeral homes take when embalming victims of confirmed or suspected COVID-19?
Again, we'll gown up into our personal protective equipment as much as we can. If not, layer a couple gloves or, you know, not only just a face mask, but a face shield as well, kind of like nurses do when they're on their wards. The other thing we do is we've been covering the mouth and nose area of the deceased, just in case, you know, because that is, since it is a respiratory virus, you got to take that precaution. And so we cover the mouth and the nose during the time frame of the embalming as well.
Camelia, can you have an open casket right now for someone who has died of COVID-19?
You absolutely can, and we've had several open caskets. We advise the families not to touch, to only view, which has been difficult because you're used to touching your loved one's hand or, you know, maybe giving mom or dad a kiss on the forehead. So, again, that's really changed the viewing process. But, yes, we've had open caskets. Visitations with closely following along the guidelines of the CDC, our national body, the National Funeral Directors Association. So we follow those guidelines and recommendations very, very closely. And if those change, we will certainly adapt and change our policies as well.
Camelia, do you feel like you have enough information given to you as you handle these bodies of the loved ones? Do you feel like you're getting information from the state and the public health department? Because, you know, when tests are pending, there's a lot that's up in the air.
Yes, I think we're getting good information. I've been very satisfied with how fast information has been disseminated to the funeral industry, Wisconsin in particular. And like I said, our policy, whether the test is come back confirmed or not, from the time that we do the removal or the transfer, we are taking all precautions to protect our staff and our directors and treating this individual as though the person is COVID positive.
We're talking with funeral directors Camelia Clark and James Wolf. They're with us. If you work in this industry, how has the coronavirus affected your role and how have you adapted? What are you saying to the families who make arrangements and how have you adapted arrangements to social distancing? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. We'll get back to this conversation right after this news update on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I just want to give a quick thank you to everyone who donated during our spring member drive. Support from people like Ann and Richard and Wind Lake sustains the trusted news and information you value on the Ideas Network. To ensure the resources are in place, we fundraise throughout the year, which has also been affected at this time. So if you missed the drive, your gift now at WPR.org is especially important. And thank you so much. So right now we're talking about the strain on funeral homes around the country. The pandemic has radically changed how we honor the dead. And this is a difficult topic, so do please take care. Families of people who die from any cause are being asked to scale back how they memorialize their loved ones by changing or postponing funeral services, limiting the number of people who can attend, and increasingly, as we heard, using online tools. Did you lose someone who lived outside of Wisconsin recently? How did you honor that person? There's space for your story, your questions at 800-642-1234. We have two funeral directors, James Wolf in Janesville and Camelia Clark in Milwaukee. They stay with us. Camelia, take us to graveside services. How are you able to ensure social distancing can take place there during the burial services?
So with social distancing policies at the cemeteries for graveside services, we pretty much follow the directions of the cemetery policy. And in the Milwaukee area, a lot of the cemeteries are only allowing anywhere from 2 to 10 family members to congregate with social distancing at the actual gravesite. However, they're accommodating the family by allowing them as many family members as possible that they'd like to participate in the procession process to come to the cemetery. But some of the local cemeteries are recommending and encouraging families to stay in their cars to witness the graveside service from their cars in order to protect the family and the staff at the cemetery. And so that's been a lot of really challenging for the families. But, you know, our families are resilient. And they've done really wonderful with adapting to the cemetery policies for their safety and the staff safety.
So you're seeing that immediate family members, they can be at the graveside, but the people who are supporting them are in their vehicles in that procession by the grave.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
James Wolf, is that kind of the protocol you're seeing where you are in Janesville?
It has started to move in that direction where they're only allowing certain amount of people at the graveside and everybody else needs to be either kept at a far, far distance or kept in their cars, yes.
James, can you explain what direct burial is and how that might be a change at this time?
So a direct burial means that we're going from the place of death to the funeral home, placing them into their burial casket and going to a graveside service immediately without any services at a church or home or funeral home. And we would just have committal services only at the cemetery with the family that they invite only. So it's still a private service itself is just no time frame at a funeral home or facility.
Has this become more common during this time of the pandemic?
No, it is not. Not in my area, at least.
Camelia, what are you seeing with direct burial where you are in Milwaukee?
We're not seeing a lot of direct burials. We're still seeing families that's opting to have services or do cremations. So we are seeing more cremations, but not really a lot more direct burials.
Well, let's talk a little more about cremation. Camelia, in Texas, there are more people opting for non-traditional services and cremation. Have you seen cremation pick up here in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. We've seen cremation pick up in Wisconsin. More families are opting to have a service and then cremate afterwards or have a memorial service and then cremate. And they're taking advantage of the different options that are available for memorialization. There are different unique types of urns and type of cremation jewelry. And so we're starting to see a lot of families to take advantage and be very unique in the way they celebrate the life that their loved ones live.
James, what are you seeing in the area of cremation?
We are seeing an increase as well in the cremation. Not since the COVID case. The families that have chosen cremation for us have still been families that we knew or know were going to be a cremation family. So the COVID crisis hasn't changed their minds on how their loved one is taken care of. But we have seen an uptick and an increase in cremation families too, yes.
We're talking with Camelia Clark and James Wolf. They're funeral directors in Milwaukee and Janesville. And we're looking at the state of burying our loved ones or cremating our loved ones during this time of a pandemic. Do you know someone who has passed away due to the coronavirus? What arrangements did their family make? How did you celebrate their life? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Camelia, I'm wondering, have you been talking with funeral directors in some of the hard-hit hotspots around the country?
I haven't spoken with any of them directly. Indirectly, I have, and there's been several calls for help for other funeral home directors that are not as affected by COVID as some of the hot spots are, and it has been called for help for any funeral home owners that can lend staff or any volunteers that can go and help in a hot spot. So absolutely, there's a call for help.
James, what are you hearing from others in the industry right now?
Same thing, Camelia, is, it's the hot spots that are really, drastically needing the help and needing just people there to move and get things organized and making sure that each family is still taken care of one by one. But it's the same thing that Camelia was hearing.
What do funeral directors in these harder hit areas, what type of help do they need, James?
They just need people to be able to help them do a removal or to make arrangements with a family. New York, they're bringing in people from every other state around them and just allowing them to not have our light, because each state is licensed differently. And New York's just like, we just need bodies in here to help us make arrangements with families or to just go up to the places of death for us. We're just so overbore with everything. They just need help with that process and that aspect.
James, are you watching Chicago more closely right now due to what you're seeing in New York?
No, I am not, actually.
Camelia, what about you? As you hear those calls out of New York for help, what if that rolls right into the middle of our country?
We are definitely monitoring Chicago because in Milwaukee, there are a lot of families that have relocated from Illinois to Milwaukee. And so we're just doing the best that we can do to keep an eye on it and to understand that Wisconsin is very, I think we have a great coalition of professionals, and many of us have conversations if any firm within the WFDA or not need help from a colleague, that we're willing to pull together and to help each other, because like you heard Jim said we want to help make sure one family at a time gets the need and the attention that they need during this crisis.
Is the association seeking any changes right now in state licensing so funeral directors could more easily help across state lines?
Well, at this time, it has been a conversation that we are aware of, and we're certainly willing to move on if necessary. And so our board is always being proactive and thinking ahead so that we can move in real time should we need to do so.
James, state lawmakers just passed legislation with provisions allowing medical examiners and coroners to skip full inspections of people who have died of coronavirus. What can you tell us about this development, this change in the law?
So what this changes is that, you know, when a death occurs and the family's chosen cremation, there's basically three major steps that we have to go through in order for the cremation to occur. Number one, we have to wait a minimum of 48 hours from the time of death, and that's the time of pronounced death. Number two, we need a signed death certificate with a cause of death on it. And number three, we have to have the family sign off on a cremation as well, saying, yes, we do want our loved one cremated. Once those three steps are met, then the county coroner needs to come in, or medical examiner, and they tend to examine the body, make sure there's no issues where they might have had to investigate the death at some point during those 48 hours. And then they sign off on the cremation. What this allows is that if it is a COVID death, the coroner or medical examiner has the right to not follow any of their regulations and to sign off on the cremation immediately if we've got the other three things in line, if it's less than 48 hours still.
So it's kind of collapsing the timeline and basically collapsing a step of not examining the body, but the other steps have to be in place.
Correct. The other steps still need to be in place. It's just them identification, and they're relying on us that the identification is this person, basically.
We're talking about how families are approaching death in this age of COVID-19. We have a pair of funeral directors who also are office holders in the Wisconsin Funeral Directors Association, Camelia Clark and James Wolf. Do you have a will? Maybe you plan on leaving specific arrangements for your funeral services. How would social distancing affect your wishes? Be part of this conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. We'll get back to this conversation with Camelia Clark and James Wolf in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As we've been hearing, funeral homes in coronavirus hotspots are struggling to keep up. We're looking at how rituals are being adapted in how we mourn the dead. Do you work in the funeral home industry? How has the coronavirus affected your role? How have you adapted? Have you lost someone recently? How are you able to honor their life and make arrangements? Still time for you at 800-642-1234. We have funeral directors Camelia Clark and James Wolf who stay with us. James, as we are talking there, under what other circumstances besides the coronavirus would coroners usually not do a full inspection of a body?
There's not too many more options except infectious contagious diseases. In the lines of like a coronavirus is pretty much the only time that they would go about these standards. And this is just for the process of the coronavirus and the mandate through the government, through the governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, they're leaning and collapsing that time frame for us.
Camelia, are you seeing that cremation is becoming more common these days or not so much?
I think it was on an upward trend. I don't think that the COVID-19 has influence that, at least not in, from what I'm seeing at my firm. I think, like Jane said a little earlier, people know that that is the option of disposition that they want, and they just continue to move forward with that particular disposition. Because I think those conversations are had with a lot of families prior to a death, and so they're having those conversations a lot early on. And so when a death occurs, the family is already on the path to which form of disposition they want, whether it's burial or cremation.
Camille, how are you being flexible with grieving loved ones during this time as they make arrangements for the deceased? Do you find that you're having to do more explaining of the process?
We are. We're doing more explaining of the process, especially really helping a family understand the safer at home order in terms of the funeral process and how that looks. And so, yes, we are spending a lot of time explaining that to the family with how that looks and how that affects them. And one of the things that we're suggesting to our families is to identify who the initial 10 family members will be that's going to be able to physically participate in the service, and then share with the other family members that are not able to be present that we do have the capability to webcast the services. So I think that's really, really helped and aided a lot of our families, because that really was a huge concern.
James, what about for you? I know when I've worked with funeral directors in the past, so much is done in person and right across from a desk. What is that like now?
Again, you know, we're in an area that isn't as, you know, and I'd say hot spot, but, you know, we're low numbers in the COVID aspect of it. So we're still meeting with families face to face at a table or a desk. That hasn't changed too much with most of the families, unless we, again, if we know it's a COVID-19 case or family member, then we'd go on and we'd do it, you know, over the phone or DocuSign, electronically have them sign papers for us, those kind of things. And it's been pretty minimal on that. Families still want to see us and talk to us face to face, and just make sure that we're making all the connections and getting all the, you know, I's dotted and T's crossed as we need to for their funeral.
In the last few moments here, do you have any advice for families who have recently lost someone and will have to make arrangements for them during this time?
You know, as much as it, you've got to be patient, not only for yourself and your family, but with us and the community itself. Grief is such a difficult thing to deal with in any death. But now to not be able to do this properly with the community, later on throughout the year, your grief may hit you even more. So you need to be aware that this process is not just right now. It's going to be later on as well.
Camelia, final thoughts here. Any advice for families?
Yes, I would share with the family and give them the advice that although you are not able to participate and memorialize your loved one in full capacity with the community, consider having a public memorial service at a later date. Consider, having a dinner at home or having a gathering once we get back to some type of normalcy to where you can memorialize your loved one. But I think the biggest that I can share with the family is do understand that a public memorial can be held the way you want it at a later date.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. That's Camelia Clark and James Wolf, President and Vice President of the Wisconsin Funeral Directors Association. They are funeral directors in Milwaukee and Janesville, respectively. The 2020 presidential election just might be decided in the suburbs. Heavily Republican suburban areas have moved toward the Democratic Party in recent elections. In western Wisconsin, Democrats in St. Croix County are hoping to capitalize on that trend in a May 12th special congressional election and in November. Rob Mentzer has more.
From downtown Hudson, Wisconsin, there's a pedestrian bridge that crosses the St. Croix River and into Minnesota. On the interstate nearby, cars zip by on their way to the Twin Cities. Today, Hudson is basically an outer suburb of Minneapolis-St. Paul. Danielle Johnson says that wasn't always the case.
Growing up in this area, I grew up in Red Wing. I remember when Hudson was not part of urban sprawl. It was just a small town in Wisconsin.
Johnson is co-chairwoman of the St. Croix Democratic Party. She sees political tides changing here. Democrats are organizing in Hudson and in rural parts of the county, too. At a chili cook-off and candidate meetup in March, Johnson told the assembled Democrats that the party is focused on grassroots organizing.
But we're going to really reach out to all parts of St. Croix County and turn it blue. So.
One of the candidates who spoke there was Tricia Zunker. She's facing Republican State Senator Tom Tiffany in the 7th Congressional District. On the day before Governor Tony Evers declared COVID-19 a statewide public health emergency, Zunker made 3 campaign appearances in St. Croix County.
When we flip this seat, Wisconsin is blue again, and that has enormous implications for the 2020 presidential election.
Zunker says she's gotten a lot of support from the area.
There are people on the ground that are helping turn people out, that are helping get the word out, and they're posting on Facebook, they're using social media, they're making phone calls.
In the spring election, held amid the state's stay-home order, the conservative candidate for Supreme Court narrowly won in the 7th District, even as he lost the statewide race by 10 points. But in St. Croix County, the result was tantalizingly close for Democrats. The county that voted for Trump by more than 18 points in 2016 split nearly 50-50 in the Supreme Court race. Most of the 7th Congressional District is rural, which is one reason the special election is seen as an uphill climb for Democrats. But every Democrat in the region points to St. Croix's State Senator Patty Schachner as proof that they can win. Schachner won a surprise victory in her special election in the district in early 2018. Outside the chili cook-off, Schachner says the pitch for Zunker and Democrats is simple.
The big thing is, are you better off today than you were, 6 weeks ago? 6 months ago, 2 years ago. And if you weren't, Tricia Zunker is worth taking a chance on.
Opposition to the president fuels a lot of the Democrats' energy here.
Like many, many people, when Trump got elected, it was just a shock and devastation.
Tammy Mutaden is an occupational therapist in Hudson. With Johnson, she's co-chairwoman of the county Democrats. In 2016, she was doing home health care in rural Wisconsin.
I like to tell people I literally saw the signs because I saw lots of Trump signs, and it was really worrying me. And everybody was saying, oh, he's not going to win, he's not going to win. And I said, I'm not so sure about that.
Mutaden is 56. She says she's been a single mom on welfare, and she's seen the value of a strong social safety net. After Trump's election, she and her daughter went to the Women's March in Washington, D.C. It was the first time she had ever participated in a political protest.
When I came back, I thought, well, okay, what can I do next? What can I do now to make sure that wasn't just a one-off?
She joined the St. Croix Democrats. She served on the county board for 3 years, and she's working to elect Democrats this year. There are a lot of people like Mutaden in places like Hudson. In the Trump era, Republicans have lost support in suburban areas across the country. Trump's approval rating is still high in rural areas. It's still low in cities. It's in the suburbs where there's been the most change. Rob Benser, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And this is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.